Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And the way we are, and no doubt about it, the final opportunity to tune your game in Augusta before the next 4 days of just incredible golf. The atmosphere second to none. I mean, it is without any question one of the greatest 4 days that you could ask for any type of sports fan, no matter where you are listening tonight. There's nothing quite like Augusta. There's nothing quite like the Masters. Matt Wallace, your winner today. It's good for him, right? Well, it depends on how you look at it. First of all, a lot of people don't even know who Matt Wallace is, but we do know, except for, I believe it was one of the legendary golfers. I wanted to say Sam Snead, but I don't believe, well, maybe it was Sam, that he was the last to actually win the par three to go on and win the Masters itself. I mean, each and every year we see situations like this. Wasn't it Tony Finau who had the hole-in-one a year ago? Did he win it last year? I'd have to look back on it, but you know, it kind of falls in the category of like a Sports Illustrated jinx or don't mention or discuss a no-hitter if you're working on one of those, whether you're the hometown television or radio broadcaster or anyone else in the dugout. That's kind of the lore of the Masters. Whoever wins the par three contest today has no shot of putting on that green jacket. A lot of Masters talk to get into over the next couple of hours. We'll certainly do that, particularly in our second hour, as we'll preview this once again and then get ready for tomorrow. Just love it. Absolutely. And with the television coverage expanding the way that they have over the last several years, it just makes for such a better event. Of course, 87 players will get after it. They'll cut it down after 36 holes late on Friday afternoon. They'll give you the low of 50-plus ties or anyone that is within 10 strokes of the overall lead after Friday afternoon's round. That's the way things are at the Masters. Tee time scheduled for 8:30 on, tomorrow morning. Of course, the honorary starters, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player. Yeah, feels a little bit different without Arnold Palmer. And I'm sure he will be remembered again tomorrow. How long has Arnold been gone now? Is it 2 years? It was really sad the first time. Forever we saw Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, the honorary starters. It's truly one of the great moments to kick off the tournament. And Player and Nicklaus will do that again tomorrow at 8:15. Then last week's champion at the Texas Open, Corey Connors. He'll be out there with Andrew Landry and Adam Long. Some very good pairings, or I should say threesomes, that'll be wrapping themselves around Augusta tomorrow, including Mickelson, Rose, and Thomas, which is the one that really interests me because of their style of golf. Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Jason Day, another very intriguing threesome. McIlroy, Fowler, Cameron Smith, an opportunity for Rory to win the Grand Slam. Ricky Fowler continues to be the most overrated player on this planet, but he came one stroke away from winning it a year ago. And he won earlier this season in Phoenix. As great as Ricky Fowler is, the record does reflect that he only has 5 PGA Tour victories. Insanely overrated. But as I said a night ago, everyone loves Ricky. Everyone loves him. So a lot of people will be pulling for him tomorrow. And then, of course, Tiger will get after it as well with Haotong Li and John Rahm, who had it going on here at the Players until he absolutely fell apart on a Sunday at Sawgrass. Really excited about what to expect and what will uncover or be uncovered tomorrow at the 83rd Masters. So a lot more on that coming up here tonight on Into the Night with Rick Ballew. All right, first things first, the Magic Johnson situation broke late on the show a night ago. And I've heard a lot about this today in a lot of different directions, that people are taking what is arguably the biggest story in sports. For starters, it's really of shock value to me that L.A. now has gone 6 years without making the playoffs. I didn't realize it was that long. I think that we were perhaps surprised when we started to catch wind of the Antonio Brown meltdown on the heels of taking a year off for Le'Veon Bell, that the Steelers had actually only won one playoff game in 8 years. Don't know about you. That surprised me, even though I follow this game religiously. When I think playoff football, I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe because I was born in the great decade of the 70s, or that's when I started watching football, in the great decade of the 70s, where it really seemed like it was Steelers-Cowboys about every year. And yes, they've had success since then. They've won the Super Bowl, as we know, since then. A couple of times. But they, to me, are a perennial playoff team. This league, the way that it is structured with 32 teams and the salary cap and the NFL draft, it is so often that we talk about how it's really around 40% where you look at the playoff teams 1 year, how they change the year after. It is anything but consistent. You have new teams making the playoffs year in, year out. New England has been a fixture. After that, though, where do you go? Green Bay? Seattle? Pittsburgh, right? Isn't Pittsburgh one of the teams that you just look at and say they are a fixture each and every year in the playoffs? They've only won it once in 8 years. Really surprised me. To the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, one of the most successful franchises in the history of sports, period. You look at what they've done now over the last 2 years. They brought back their favorite son in Magic Johnson to lead them. They spent all that money and got all that press by bringing over the King and LeBron James. And once again, they failed miserably. What made this story even more really, I guess, of a surprise was that Magic Johnson went to the podium a night ago and you didn't know what to expect. I think people felt that maybe there was going to be an immediate firing of Luke Walton. Perhaps there was going to be a little bit of a statement made by Magic about how he would address the front office and the moves that the Los Angeles Lakers were going to make, you know, let's say a week or two into the NBA playoffs, give things just a little bit of time to simmer. Let's face it, he grabbed the mic, went up there, and announced that he was resigning as president of basketball operations, and no one saw it coming. I think we felt that Luke Walton was on his way out. I was told, or was not told, I heard that Rob Pelinka, the general manager, and Magic were not on great terms. But I didn't see this coming. I don't think anyone in the NBA community really saw this coming. And to listen to what he had to say, it's really surprising to me as to why he's walking away from these responsibilities. And I'm not critical of him. I actually appreciate the fact that he's being honest. Magic Johnson, everywhere he goes, things that he touches turns into gold. He didn't want to put in the work anymore as president of basketball operations. He wanted to return to his happy life. He is a multi-millionaire. Heck, he may be close to a billionaire. He's 59. Why does he need to deal with the grind and have the work ethic of other basketball front office types if he doesn't have to? And I thought he was truthful in his way out. I think it's going to end up being better off overall for the Los Angeles Lakers, who totally need a different direction. I mean, they need to do something that is really out of this world in a spectacular fashion. I don't know if they go after Pat Riley in Miami, who's been there now for well over, what, a decade and a half? Patrick Riley now 74. How long has he been in Miami now? 15 years? Is that the guy you covet? Is that the guy you bring home? Do the Lakers do the exact same thing that the Jaguars did by bringing back Tom Coughlin? The Lakers were a little bit more successful, considering they won NBA rings with Pat Riley. And how much longer is he going to do it? I mean, Jerry West is cross town right now for the Los Angeles Clippers, which is a better overall franchise than the Lakers. And I don't think that that is going to happen. I'm just throwing that out there. But instead of making up ridiculous excuses and putting the blame on someone else, I found myself admiring Magic Johnson more for really being honest. This is not what Magic wants to do. He's talking about things like Serena Williams, how he wants to be a part of her foundation, and how he can't pick up the phone and congratulate other members within the NBA because it would be considered some form of tampering or, you know, contact, even though it was supposed to be from a friend to a friend type of relationship. You're not allowed to do that if you are in a position of power like Magic was with the Los Angeles Lakers. What I'm really trying to say is that he doesn't need this type of stress. Magic doesn't need to go out and work and watch this thing under him really fall apart. I also believe Magic Johnson doesn't like being criticized. I mean, this guy, everywhere he goes, has always taken the room. From the time we saw him with a smiling face and Greg Kelser under the legendary Judd Heathcoat at Michigan State, knocking off Larry Bird in Indiana State to win a national title, when you see Magic Johnson, it's the smile, it's the charisma, it's the guy who owns the room. Great career. Tragedy of the AIDS announcement. Look at him. The guy, look at him. He's 59. Okay, he's smiling. He's in good shape. He's put on some weight. Obviously, he's had proper treatment. He doesn't look like he's sick. He doesn't look like he's got a virus. Why take on a bottom-feeding program like the Los Angeles Lakers, and for the first time in his life, he has to be told that he sucks at his job? Unlike Derek Jeter, who will take those boos now in Miami, and he got them the other night when they said goodbye to Dwayne Wade. And can you imagine booing the great Derek Jeter? They're doing it right now in Miami. I think Magic Johnson looked at this and said, I've had an unbelievable life, and I've been cheered and loved everywhere that I've gone. I'm stepping out. I don't want to be criticized any longer. I think a lot of people are upset by the way that he surprised them and left this job. I'm looking at it differently. I don't blame him. Being in that situation, I think he actually made the right move. And finally, I think it's a win-win. I think it's a win for Magic in his personal life. And I also think it's a win for the Los Angeles Lakers, who, again, have not made the playoffs in 6 years. They need to bring in someone who truly understands the game. Not to say that Magic didn't. I'm talking about the game, free agency, the draft, and the chemistry that goes along with building an organization, and is willing to put in the work. I don't think Magic wanted to put in the work. He's out. And I think he made the right decision. All right, enough of that. Let's get to what's really important. It's the Jaguars. We're 2 weeks and a day away from the NFL draft. Lots of draft nuggets out today involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As we know, on Monday, officially, the Jaguars will report. OTAs will get underway. Doug Marrone wants 100% attendance. He wants everyone there. I think right off the surface, you wonder about two people. Will Jalen Ramsey be there? Will Leonard Fournette be there? Oh, by the way, I was listening to Boston television today as I was flipping around, and they signed ASJ, the New England Patriots did. They also had TJ Yeldon in for a visit. The Boston media, who doesn't spend a lot of time following what's going on here in Jacksonville, does not understand why TJ Yeldon is a free agent, why the Jaguars let him go, and they believe he's a better back than Leonard Fournette. Just telling you what they said as I listened to it today. I was very surprised to hear that. But you talk about what perception is in other parts of the country. And that is what was being said earlier today, smack dab in the middle of Boston. I found it extremely surprising, but nonetheless, that was being said. All right, so we got a lot to do tonight. Greg Huntington, one of the 10 original Jaguars, is going to join us. They got a huge event coming up for a lot of ex-Jags. It's coming up at Topgolf in just a couple of weeks, so we'll break that down with Greg and also get his thoughts on what has gone on during the offseason with the Jaguars and with OTAs beginning on Monday. We'll kick things off about that as well. So, glad you're with us. A ton happening right here on this Wednesday night. Glad you're with us. This is Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's good to have you with us. Rick Ballew till 9 o'clock. Greg Huntington in studio, one of the 10 original Jags. Of course, he is with Advanced Disposal, one of our primary sponsors here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. What's going on?
We are a proud sponsor, Rick.
Yeah, we
love
having
your show. You.
You
do a great job. You're always well-informed. You got good content. So it's a pleasure for us to be a sponsor of the show, and you do a great job of promoting our needs out there, if it be drivers or our commercial work. So thank you. Great to be here.
It's a great job. Great company, big benefits, and a $1,500 signing bonus right now in Clay County.
Yeah, Clay County. We're looking for drivers over there. We're looking for drivers everywhere, whether it's right. Nassau, Duval, Clay. But, you know, it's a hot economy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a shrinking labor market.
Yep.
And you got to compete for employees.
Yep.
And that's one of our biggest concerns is a lack of drivers.
No doubt about it. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers to get all the information and apply. You can do that right now. All right, busy time of year for you. We play golf together in a great tournament for charity on Monday, working with the YMCA. I know that you're doing a lot of great stuff, a lot of golf tournaments, but you've also got a huge event coming up in a couple of weekends with a ton of former Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it's called the Jaguars Legend Top Golf Tournament. It's Sunday, April 28th from 4 to 7, 3 hours. It's not an all-day affair like a golf tournament would be. But proceeds are to benefit the Foster Closet.
Uh-huh.
And the Foster Closet's been a charity that I've been a part of ever since I moved back to town since 2009.
Right.
They receive much-needed items for the kids that are in a foster care system. So, you know, I feel for these kids. They're already behind the eight ball. Whether it's infants all the way up to high schoolers, it's a great charity, and so I enjoy being a part of it. So a portion of the proceeds are going to go to that.
Awesome.
And so as it stands right now, I got about 23 guys committed, which is not an easy task.
No.
You know as well as I do.
I just love the fact that there's 23 ex-Jaguars who live here in town.
Yeah, well, some of these, now some, like, you know.
A couple are coming in for
Jimmy
it.
Smith.
Ah, yeah, Jimmy's
Pete
coming
Mitchell's
in. All right.
Yeah, so we got a lot of the guys that are here locally. You're right.
1010XL's Leon Searcy will be there.
Correct. Kyle Brady, you know, Josh Scobie, Pete Mitchell, Tom McManus. Mark Brunell's going to be there. I just had dinner with Mark. He's committed. He's looking forward to the event.
Outstanding.
Mike Hollis, Wydell. Do you believe in miracles?
Uh-huh. Dave Wydell will be there.
So I'm not going to go through the entire list, but and, you know, with any of these type of events, you guys can be committed, and the next thing you know, something happens or not there. But I think
how can that happen? I mean, these are Coughlin guys. If you say you're going to be there, you should be there.
Yeah, well, I wish that was reality. But a lot of it is following up. I almost have to be a pest.
Uh-huh.
I put on a golf tournament when I actually played for the Jaguars to benefit Special Olympics.
Yes.
And I was putting stuff – guys were hating me because I was putting stuff in their lockers, reminders, mm-hmm. but I got a lot of the guys there. So that's what you got to do.
Yep. So 23 right now is the list. You gave out a few names. We'll go through them again. What about the general public? How can they be a part
yes.
of it? What can they do?
So in order to get all the information pertaining to the tournament, they can go to fostercloset.org.
Okay.
There's individual tickets for like $50, but they're limited. And then we have sponsorship packages that are a tiered level. And we've already had some great companies sign up, such as Advanced Disposal.
Yeah.
Rear Rig Pacific, you know, because I'm in the waste management industry.
Mm-hmm.
Rear Rig Pacific makes the trash carts.
So
AMCS, they're hauling software for the trucks that we use, and Alexander Dentistry Group, just to name a few. There's more. But it's going to be a great night, epic night, great cause.
Target Golf.
Yes.
Like us on Monday, you and Tom Carter leading the way, well, former Notre Dame great.
Yes, that was a good time.
Tom, it was a lot of fun.
Tom and I were in the same draft class with the Redskins. Of course, he was a first rounder, I was a fifth, which is a big disparity in a paycheck. But and then we played together in the Bears. And so he lives in the as the World Golf Village.
Sure, yeah.
But
another great place to play golf.
But, you know, your game, to your credit, I mean, very steady.
No,
and straight,
don't talk about me. No, no.
Yeah, it's very steady and straight off the drive with your hybrid.
There's a lie.
Your Cleveland hybrid.
I've put the driver away.
I know. Well, you don't need it.
Yeah.
You get somebody out there. But then you had some phenomenal finesse shots, which I'm horrible at. When I play in these, I tell everybody I'm good for a drive and a putt.
Uh-huh.
But don't expect me to hit that shot that's 90 yards and in or is a chip over a bunker. I'm gonna duff that every time.
Greg Huntington with us, one of the 10 original Jaguars. Big event coming up with plenty of ex-Jaguars. We'll talk much more about this as we do move forward. But instead of a golf tournament, which, you know, is happening all the time, you've been playing in several as a former Jag. Why Top Golf and doing it in this particular fashion? I mean, I love the idea. You can have cold beer. You're not going to have to sweat as much. But why do it here instead of going out on a golf course somewhere?
Well, I've put on a golf tournament in the past, and it's a lot of effort. Not that this isn't, but it's just a more condensed period of time. It's 3 hours. You're not committed to an all-day 6-7 hour round, hot. Like I said, I just got sunburned at our last tournament.
Right.
So it's
tail end of the draft.
It's kind of high and tight, you know.
Right.
An opportunity to mingle with some of the Jags, and we'll pin it down, but there is going to be a format for competition because I said, look, if we're going to have something like this, somebody's going to have to be a winner.
Okay.
I mean, winners and losers.
Right.
That's just the nature of who we are.
Now, are these golfers seeded?
Seeded.
Yeah. You know, is Josh Scobie the number one seed? You're probably the number two seed.
Yeah. No.
Right?
I mean, in terms of players' popularity.
Where's Big Sofa on this list as far as seeded golfers?
Damon Jones.
Can he hit it?
I'm sure he can.
I've talked to Leon Searcy a bunch about playing golf, and every time he says he plays, but I ask him, he goes, I haven't played a lot lately.
So I get what you're asking now. I'm a little slow.
Sorry.
So you're asking who's the best golfer on the list.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe the biggest draw, which in my opinion is Mark Rippon.
I could care less about the draw. I'm talking about seeded golfers.
Yeah, I think
Selly's on the fence, huh?
Well, he's got his daughter's got a cheerleading event, so I wouldn't ask him to move away from that. But
right.
I think from what I understand, I haven't seen it in action, but Josh Scobie, from what I hear, is probably the best golfer out of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at this list, and I played golf with a lot of guys on this list. I remember back in the good old days when Brunell used to have his yearly tournament at the Players, and that used to be awesome.
Swinger Club.
At Sawgrass. You know, obviously, Tony. Mm-hmm. Leon, I've played with Meathead before. Tom McManus, no doubt. Pete Mitchell. Now, Pete's in Detroit still, right?
I reached out to Pete recently. That's a good question, whether he's back in town. No, I think he may actually be back in town, but he said he's all in. He wants to be there. And
Michael Ross, a real good guy, from Atlantic Coast. And Paul Fraze, another guy that, you know, with the passing of his son years ago, his great charity. So, you know, you've got some really cool names.
You got Tom Myslinski, who I played with here, that's now the current strength coach with the Jaguars.
Yes, Milo.
Yep. Yeah,
no doubt about it. All right. And again, for the listeners out there, because we want them to certainly be a part. Now, as far as them participating in this, open spots, availability, what do you have left for this? Because I know it's going pretty quickly.
That's probably a good question. And I don't have a ticket count sold just yet. But I think it's limited to 100 tickets. We may have 50 to 60 sold now, but we also have sponsorships. So people that are doing a sponsorship, you know, get automatic foursomes. So we have 17 bays or hitting mats.
17 bays, right.
And our desire is to have, you know, four participants in each bay with a former player.
Ah,
and
I like
the title
it.
Sponsor we're still working on, they may get two players.
Okay. All right. Great idea. And the best way to do that, again, is just go to fostercloset.org.
Correct.
All right.
Simple enough.
Yeah. Great stuff. Hey, April 15th, that is Monday.
Tax day.
It is tax day, but more importantly, it's OTA day.
Yes.
Here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talk often about the moves that this team makes, and you know, first things first, how different is it going to be if you're a returning player to consider what happened a year ago, the tremendous run, Miles Jack wasn't down, you get screwed in Foxborough, all the offseason hype, and then you had that type of performance this past year where you went 5-11. I think the outgoing memory is Fournette and Yeldon sitting on the bench together where it was just awful. How hard is it to return now to OTAs after what's happened in a year?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for all players and their mentality, but I have to believe that, you know, they may feel a bit of shame from what took place last year in terms of the results. And there's reasons for that, be it injuries and things like that. But I think there's probably a desire now to get back into the swing of things and go out and prove that, hey, you are a better team than maybe the results of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's probably an expectation. I mean, two, you're going to have what? I mean, what do they have now? 92 to start?
Yeah.
On the roster?
90 guys, right.
So you got a lot of guys that are there that are, I mean, they're looking to compete and try to make a 53-man roster, and then I guess it's a 10-man practice roster. So I think there's going to be, I think there's going to be an expectation and a desire to improve on the results of last year.
Yeah, they actually signed a player today, Cody Brown from the AAF, the now defunct league, 6'2", 207, a DB out of Arkansas State. His seven-year career came to an end with the Salt Lake Stallions. So they're constantly tinkering with the roster. Then obviously they'll add at least seven draft picks and some street free agents in a couple of weeks of the draft, and then there'll be more roster transactions. But before we get there, and I know you're old school, playing for Joe Paterno, playing for Tom Coughlin, how important is it, in your opinion, for all of these players to be a part of this beginning next
year? I think it's vital. I mean, you want to have a message of team unity in that, I mean, you may play an individual position, but that's what makes football great. It's a team sport. So you have to come together as a team more times than not in order to be successful. So I think it's important that everybody's there. When I played, I don't remember anybody ever missing.
Yes.
Even the big-name guys were there. You know, Jeff Loggeman and those kind of people, Calvin Pritchard, everybody showed up.
But the collective bargaining agreement has changed, and it's clearly now voluntary. Where back in the day, it was voluntary, but it was, you better be there.
Exactly.
It's changed.
This is true. Yeah, a lot's changed. I retired in 2000, so we're looking at almost 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even the amount of training camp practices and how much you can hit and what you can do in the off seasons, all very much changed.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was involuntary or voluntary, mandatory voluntary, whatever we used to say. We used to kid about it.
You know, there's speculation that Jalen won't be there. There's speculation that Leonard Fournette won't be there. My guess is if one is not there or both are not there, that there's not a guy in that locker room who's a teammate who will say anything negative about this at all. Despite that, is the thinking, though, if they don't publicly say it, is privately the thinking with some of these guys, like, why aren't you there sweating and working out with us?
Yeah, well, let me just speak for myself. That would be my mentality. I may not say something publicly. I mean, I didn't play in the era of social media and all that kind of stuff, but I would have that mentality. I mean, and two, you know, a guy like me, you know, I was always a cuss player, backup line, you know.
Yep.
I had to be there. I mean, I had to be able to perform. But you do expect everybody to be there and, you know, represent the team.
Yeah. See, I don't think Jalen – my guess, if you put 10 grand on the table, my guess would be Jalen's going to miss some of this time. And he's already made a lot of money, and he works out with his dad's facility in Tennessee. I think – and I want him there, but – it's almost like, all right, if he elects to take a few days off, I'm actually okay with that. Now, I didn't play the game. I didn't play the game like you did. So I don't know what that feeling is like. Now, if Leonard Fournette, after they've extended the olive branch to him again, if he doesn't show up, I got a major problem with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would give Jalen Ramsey a pass simply because the guy's proven himself consistently throughout a season. And even last year when there was nothing to play for other than pride, you know, no playoff opportunities. He was out there playing. He didn't, you know, take a pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, to your point, the things he's doing in Tennessee at his dad's facility. But Fournette is, you know, obviously a question mark. And again, I'm not in that locker room. I can't speak to exactly everything that Fournette's doing or not doing or what we hear or what we think to be a problem. But I think there needs to be some readjustment of the attitude and the message. I mean, he was a captain. I don't know if that's going to continue, but, you know, I think he's going to be, again, an integral part of the success of this team next year, because we need a lot of needs on the offense.
He looks great. I mean, working out in Wyoming, looks like he's in the best shape of his life. But, you know, I'm just – and this is all guesswork for me, because we haven't heard a peep out of Leonard Fournette. That final game of the year in Houston, I mean, by the time the media got there, he was showered up, dressed, and on the bus. We never saw him, and I haven't seen him since then. But my point is that there were so many people who thought that he would be moved at the end of last year. They did not move him. And they made changes, a new running back coach. They brought in, you know, just Alfred Blue, who went to the same schools. And they're doing everything they can. So I'm under the perception, Greg, that when Tom Coughlin sat down with him, he said, listen, we're not going to trade you. Forget about those rumors. We're giving you another chance to get back here and be healthy. But I want you here for OTAs. Now, it's easy for me to say that and feel that, but I don't know that that is the case. And I don't know if anyone knows that that is the case, because despite what Jason Lockenfora says, things do not leak from Tom Coughlin in that building.
No, they don't. You're absolutely correct. That's a good reference.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to put you on the spot anymore.
No.
I think it's very important that Leonard Fournette is there.
I would concur.
Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
When we come back, let's talk about the NFL draft. What are the Jaguars going to do in 2 weeks and a day? One of the 10 original Jaguars is here, Greg Huntington. Plus, we have much more for him to give us details-wise as far as the great event that is coming up over at Topgolf on Sunday the 28th, the chance for you to play golf. 23 ex-Jaguars will be in attendance for this. Who knows? Maybe more. All of that coming up into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
What is that, LeVay? Is that like, that Skinner or something?
Oh. Nah, it's a little Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
Danny California.
I thought it was like maybe a deep cut from Skinner that I missed back in the day. I thought I knew a little something about music.
It does have a similar tone to it.
Are you going to go to the Rolling Stones show? Greg Huntington with us? They canceled it. I mean.
Yeah, they did.
Mick got, I guess he's got a heart problem.
Well, how old is he at this point?
76.
Yeah, golly.
I think his wife's 21. His daughter's older than his wife.
Unbelievable. No, I was not planning. I've never was a big Rolling Stone fan. But believe it or not, Leon seriously was looking forward to going to it. And I had to give him the news that I heard on talk radio that they had to cancel because physicians told him not to perform.
Yeah,
I'm not a big concert-going guy.
Oh, I love it. The guys today had Dennis DeYoung on from Styx.
I heard that.
Yeah.
And that guy is
He's
a hoot.
Great.
He is a ham.
Yeah, we had him on a few years ago, and Frank and I met him. You know, and he was great with Styx. But, yeah, there's a lot of good bands going. You're not a concert guy,
no,
huh?
No. But you know what? I might go to Styx.
Yeah, that's Friday night.
That's some classic rock right there.
Yeah, and
the
Kiss
70s.
Is in town the same night.
Seen Kiss once. It was actually the only Super Bowl I went to was between the Falcons and the Broncos.
So you guys didn't get good shows at Penn State? I mean,
No, I saw Pearl Jam. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, uh-huh. In my younger days, I saw Van Halen in 1984. I mean, as an eighth grader.
All right, I interrupt you. Tell me what game you were talking about.
So the only Super Bowl that I've ever attended was the Falcons Broncos. And remember, it was Eugene Robinson had his awful moment.
I was at that one. That was 97?
Yeah, it was down in Miami.
Yeah.
And Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Was the, I think they were the halftime band. I mean, I was on the completely opposite side of the stadium, and the pyrotechnics go up, and I could feel it on my face. I'm like, wow.
I mean, I got screwed in that one because the first Super Bowl I went to was 96. That's when, you know, the Jags obviously lost. You guys lost in Foxborough. And I went to see Brett Favre beat the Patriots. And then the next year I went down to Miami, did the shows the whole week. And, getting ready to walk in on Sunday when I found out that my pass was good for only the auxiliary press.
Oh.
So I literally watched the Super Bowl from a tent inside the stadium, but I was not allowed to actually look at the field. That made any sense.
Yeah, that's not right.
After that, I was like, you know what? Screw that. I'm not going to do that again. No. All right. Greg Huntington is here, one of the 10 original Jaguars. I'm Rick Ballew. We go till 9. We'll get to some Masters talk coming up at 8, where Ballew and LeVay, we are going to make our Masters picks. Who do you got? A pick yet? I know you – actually, I don't want to speak for you.
No, you're going to have to give me a moment to look on my
I know you.
Technology.
You may be involved in a pool or something somewhere.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
I definitely pick Rory to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I got Kevin Kisner. I have to think about this. You're going to have to give me a moment.
You had a draft.
I know that's terrible radio. Okay, I got Charles Howell III. Now, why do I have him? He's from that area, so I got to believe he's got some knowledge on the Masters. Xander Schauffele, baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's a consistent guy. You may not have the winner, but you want to have – we pick six players.
Yeah.
And you take the best scores of three. So if you have three guys that are 7 under, then you're 21 under.
But in the pool you're in, if you take a guy, he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. Gary Woodland. Like I said, Rory McIlroy, Kevin Kisner.
So would you get
Matt
the first
Kuchar.
Overall pick?
No, I was second. I forget who picked first and who he went with.
Had to have been either Justin Rose.
Yeah, it might have been Justin.
Or Dustin Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The Jaguars, obviously they signed Nick Foles, and you know they've also, with some bits and pieces, they brought in some guys that compete at right tackle, running back, wide receiver, but we're all sitting here staring now at number 7. What are the Jaguars going to do? I've been hammering them to go after T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. You know Tom Coughlin well. Why do I believe when it's all said and done, he's going to pick the best defensive lineman available?
That's a good question. I mean, if it's me, I think our biggest need is to get Nick Foles a supporting cast, okay? That's what he needs. And a lot of times the average fan, I give a disclaimer. I'm not a true student of the game, maybe like you are because that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
But I know about the offensive line, and your offensive line makes up 50% of your offense about, right? But a lot of times the average fan doesn't really pay too much attention about it, and yet it's critical. Because if your line's horrible, you're not making running lanes, and then you're not giving the quarterback time.
Yeah, it's not a big splash with the fans on
it's
draft
not.
Day.
But you look at some of the Cowboys' recent success came because they built their line through the draft.
No doubt.
So I don't see why we wouldn't do something like that.
Yeah. The only thing I wonder is there this year an offensive lineman that's ranked that high? I mean, there's a lot of red flags here with Juwan Taylor out of Florida. He had some hamstring issues at the combine. He had apparently a knee issue earlier at Florida. He's also a right tackle. Typically, if you draft at number 7 that high, it would be of the left tackle. Although I think that's changing a little bit. And obviously here during the success of the Jags, Leon Searcy was a dominant right tackle.
Tell me about T.J. Hockenson.
He's a bull.
Tell me.
I mean, he's the kid can run. He can block.
He can block.
He can do it all. I mean, he's been called by some the safest player in this year's draft. And unfortunately for him, he's been compared to Gronkowski, which I think is a little bit disturbing at this point because I don't think the expectation should be that high. He's not 6'7" like Gronk, but – you look at Nick Foles, and you're aware of this from watching him, he really features the tight end. He targeted the tight end more than 50 times in his last 5 starts. Targeted. And the Jaguars, the last couple of years, man, they've been last in targets, and they have been last in receptions. For this offense under Nick Foles, they need a good pass-catching tight end.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And you've obviously done your homework to know the percentages that you throw into the tight end. And then, two, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the quarterback coach that we hired, wasn't he with Nick Foles? So you would think if that's a comfort zone for him, that maybe that is something they want to go out and try to get for him.
Yeah, I was listening to Boston stuff today. I was trying to get some Red Sox input on TV where they have a combined radio television show. And T.J. Yeldon was in visiting New England today on the same day that they signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. And, you know, T.J. Yeldon caught 50 balls a year ago. We forget about that because of the way he left that sour taste in our mouth. But a huge part of the game for Nick Foles is the tight end and throwing to the back out of the backfield. And they brought in a couple of backs, including Cunningham, who only caught a ball a year ago, and Alfred Blue. But, you know, I still think right now they're really missing that type of guy in their backfield, and they're obviously missing that guy as their tight end.
Yeah. So, I mean, so from your perspective, you think the tight end.
If I was drafting, I would take T.J. Hockenson. I believe Tom Coughlin, right now 2 weeks and a day away, is going to take the best defensive lineman on the board.
Well, you make some good points about Juwan Taylor that I wasn't aware of. You got a guy that's got hamstring issues. I'd never had a hamstring issue until I got into the league, and it's no fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not good. It's hard to overcome.
And so, it's not a pain issue. It's the lack of burst, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's pain involved when it happens. But then, yeah, it's just like it's a weakness in your hamstring that doesn't allow you to, like you said, for an offensive lineman, I mean, my game is I'm getting off the ball before you mm-hmm. and getting my hands inside. I'm going to be using my leverage. And if I don't have that burst because your hamstring's weak, it's not good. So let me ask you this. If you don't add a right tackle through the draft, then what are we doing? I know we got the former first-round lineman out from the Bengals that
right.
people don't seem to be extremely high
no,
on.
No, he was a turnstile.
So
what was it? Cedric
O'Boyhee.
O'Boyhee.
Cedric O'Boyhee.
Don't ask me to say that
again. Out of Texas A&M.
O'Boyhee.
I think he came out a year or two after Luke Jokel. Oh. And he's had about the same success as Luke Jokel.
Okay. Enough said.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, he's a project at right tackle. And you know what? I'm always looking for the glimmer of hope. Look at the other former Gator, Trent Brown, who was on the scrap heap out of San Francisco as a right tackle. New England brought him in. Dante Scarnecchia got a hold of him. He's now the highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League out of Oakland. So good coaching. And with George Warhop coming in, and they just got a guy last week, Lester, who Warhop has had the last couple of years in Tampa, and you and I were talking about it the other day when we were playing golf. You bring back Shatley, you bring back Josh Wells.
Mm-hmm.
We never saw Richardson a year ago, a fourth-round pick. Maybe they think they've got enough in the offensive
Maybe.
Line.
I mean,
that's even more of the reasons why I want the tight end.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Again, I'm not down there. I'm not a fly on the wall. But
yeah, but you talk to these guys and these former Jags, and you're there at every game, and you know what this team needs. I was just interested in what direction you think they'd be best suited.
Well, yeah. Let me just back up and give my kind of two cents about Nick Foles. When those conversations were happening early on, I was like, is that really what we need? Is that really going to make us successful?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it became like it was going to be a reality, I kind of warmed up to the idea because I figured a couple things. He's going to be better than Blake Bortles. As much as I was on the Blake Bortles train as long as I could have been, he's better than Blake Bortles. And he's played at the highest level, won a Super Bowl. He commanded the respect of his teammates and Philly fans.
No doubt.
Which they're worst.
Oh,
right?
Terrible.
They love him.
Awful
I mean, you
people.
Could probably get away with wearing an Eagles Foles jersey in our stadium. You know?
I hope they don't do that. Yeah, but I know what
they may not. But if you're a Philly fan, like I have Philly friends that are Philly fans. They're excited about the fact that Nick Foles played for the Jaguars.
There's no doubt they are.
Yeah. So, but in my opinion, and again, not the expert, he needs a supporting cast. Yep. You have some quarterbacks like an Aaron Rodgers that can make things happen with his legs, like a Brunell in his early career, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might have a breakdown in protection. He runs 20, 40 yards. I don't think Nick Foles is that guy.
No, he's not.
So you got to give him protection. You got to give him the weapons. I can only hope that Fournette gets his act together,
right,
and is successful in not being injured and doing the things he may have done 2 years ago. I don't know too much about our receiving core, but I don't know that we have a big name in there.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Lee, like the MO is, hey, you know, injury prone, that kind of stuff. So I think the defense for the most part is intact. And
yeah. So the only issue is you got young safeties, even though Jared Wilson is going into his fourth year. But you got young safeties. And, you know, Greg, you don't have the depth on that defensive line that they had a couple years ago. They were eight deep.
You're right.
You could rotate. And, you know, all of a sudden that's a little thin there. And, you know, you're waiting on some of these guys to evolve, including last year's first-round draft pick and Taven Bryan, who now will move inside to the three technique. All right, I want to let you get out of here. You know, a couple of minutes left. Tell us again about the big event that's coming up here over at Topgolf on the 28th. And the best way for people to get involved here is go to fostercloset.org.
Yeah, again, it's the Jaguars Legend Topgolf Tournament with proceeds benefiting the Foster Closet, which, again, is a charity that provides much-needed items to kids that are in a foster care. It's been a charity that I've been a part of ever since back in 2009. The event's going to be held on April 28th, Sunday evening from 4 to 7. 3 hours. It's going to be a great time, you know, and you can – all the information that you would need if you want to participate and buy a ticket or be a sponsor is at thefostercloset.org. So, again, like I said, right now I got over 23 players committed. I always got to do more because you never know at the end of the day who's going to be there. But, the guy's telling me they're going to be there. Hopefully they'll be there.
Well, we'll plug it here on the show, and certainly looking forward to going out there on that date. And still got, 17 bays, so there's room for the listening audience if they want to sponsor this and be a part of it. Again, go to fostercloset.org for all the details.
Yes.
All right.
Can I do one quick shout-out?
Yes.
To my neighbor, Frank, who just, I believe he turned 56 today. And you know how much a difference it makes when you have a good neighbor? My neighbor,
yes.
Frank, he'll feed me. And he'll,
do they really?
So, he knew I was coming on. I just want to say happy birthday, Frank.
Well, that's awesome.
We love you, brother.
I miss my my old neighbors. I moved across the way.
Did you move out of Bartram Springs?
I'm still in Bartram Springs.
Okay.
I just haven't got my mail yet. I've been gone for a month and a half. My mail's apparently still in Tampa. But I'm not going to complain. It's no big deal.
Gotcha.
It's only checks,
but you still got the sports bar.
It's only the sports bar is under construction. I need to put it up. But, I won't. Nah, never mind. I'll leave that alone. I was going to say, we watched a Penn State-USC bowl game there. It got kind of crazy in that sports
Did
bar.
You want my Ken Griffey story?
Yes. Do you have a minute?
Yes.
Give me the Ken Griffey.
Are we way over?
It's all right. No one
All right. Listens. So I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. My dad got transferred to Cincinnati. And I went and played for Moeller High School.
Great high school.
Yeah, a powerhouse. Well, Ken Griffey Jr. was at Moeller. He was a senior and I was a junior. And he was actually ineligible for football a senior because of grades.
He was ineligible.
Ineligible. And
did he play earlier in his career?
He did. They actually said that they thought he was probably one of the best receivers.
Really?
At Moeller. That's how athletic he was.
He must have been insane in his high school baseball.
He was. We would play basketball after lunch and just a freak. But we had Dick Bierman's Algebra 2 class together.
Dick Bierman's class.
Dick Bierman.
Sounds like a real jerk.
I was doing good in Algebra 2, even though I'm not a math guy.
Right.
So we had a test, you know, had like eight problems on it. Well, he passed his math test over to me. I fill it out, right? I don't do 100 because that might be too obvious. I think I got like an 87 for him. But he paid me $5.
That's a great story.
He's a great guy, though.
$5?
Yeah.
Now, would he know who you were if you called him right now? Would you remember that?
He probably, I gave him some information. Yeah. I think we're connected through Facebook.
Yeah.
But, the Moeller guys, we stick together, kind of like the Penn State guys.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great seeing you, man.
Yeah.
Greg Huntington.
Always a good show.
Always fun with Greg Huntington. Well, of course, is with Advanced Disposal as well. They're hiring right now. You need a CDL. That's a commercial driver's license. For Clay County, they're offering up a signing bonus of $1,500. Apply online. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. One of the 10 original Jaguars, Greg Huntington. My name is Rick Ballew. Coming up next, the very latest from Augusta, including Masters odds on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ah, yes, love making music on this Wednesday night. the theme of the Masters, the 83rd, the pursuit of the green jacket. Last year, Patrick Reed held off Ricky Fowler by one stroke, even though Ricky shot a 67. Jordan Spieth, whose game's kind of gone south the last few years, posted a 64 on that Sunday. Two strokes behind Patrick Reed. Here we move forward a year. Patrick Reed, according to the odds makers, nowhere near the top 10. Right around number 20 overall is odds to win the green jacket. We know it's tough to do, certainly year to year. But just about no one right now is giving any chance to Patty Reed to respond and go back to back as far as the Masters is concerned. All of the hype is Rory McIlroy's. He can complete the Grand Slam. Five straight top 10 finishes for Rory McIlroy at Augusta. Last year it got away from him, a 74 on Sunday. Finished six strokes behind Reed. I mean, he shot a 69 on a Thursday, a 71 on a Friday. Moving day for Rory McIlroy, how about a 65 a year ago Saturday? But again, 74 on Sunday. And with the pressure on Rory McIlroy, he did not play his best golf. This year, he hasn't finished outside of the top 10 in any event that he has been in worldwide in a calendar year. That is how strong his game is right now. Tiger Woods, 32nd place a year ago, got there early. He's been working on his short game, 100 yards in, putting. That's really the problem for Tiger. I mean, how could you possibly win this tournament if you're 146th in strokes gained putting? And that's where Tiger is, the four times Masters champion. 10 feet in has been a problem. I mean, that's just not something that you can say with Tiger Woods. All the clutch putts he's made year after year after year. He putted a little bit better here at the Players. He lost in match play, missed a four-footer after the great run. Remember, he outdueled Rory in a can't-miss television event during match play. We'll see how Tiger Woods does tomorrow. He tees off at 11:04. 14-1, maybe a 12-1, depending on where you go. Tiger's typically in the category of the fourth overall highest odds to win the Masters. What about first-time winners? We've seen four straight, seven of the last eight. Only Bubba Watson changed that by winning the green jacket twice. Is this the year that Ricky Fowler finally does it? Remember, one stroke behind Patty Reed a year ago. And really put the pressure on him. Got better for Ricky on the weekend, a 65 on Saturday, a 67 on Sunday. Ricky Fowler has never won a major. He's also only won five events on the PGA Tour, including the Phoenix Open this year. Galleries will explode for him. What about Jason Day? He has not won yet at Augusta. His game has gone a little, it's been a little sloppy, to be honest with you. He's really struggled at the Masters the last couple of years. Matt Kuchar, local favorite, money maker, always in the top 10, always in the top 20. Marred with controversy this year, not giving El Nino that 6-inch putt, not paying caddies. Still think the patrons will give him the warm ovation if he makes a run on Sunday, particularly in that back nine. I think a lot of people will hope for Matt Kuchar to win his first ever green jacket. The Spaniard Jon Rahm had a chance to win here at the Players. Meltdown on the back nine on a Sunday. Cost him. How about the 25-year-old Justin Thomas? Finally won a major. Did that at the age of, 23 in 2017, if memory serves me correct, by winning the PGA Championship. And then, of course, Justin Rose. No one is better when it comes to what? Five top tens overall for Justin Rose. at the Masters, including a runner-up in 2015 and 2017. So there you go. Very latest. And hopefully you are as excited as I am about this. It's just so incredible. I mean, it really is. And this is, you know, one of the reasons why I really dislike, you know, the players being in March as opposed to being in May. I always love the Masters is kind of the first really big event. And, you know, I always have had much appreciation for the PGA Tour and the way that it used to be. I loved it with the Mercedes Championships beginning in Hawaii and just going through the West Coast and then playing at Pebble Beach and taking on that tough weather, then going through Los Angeles and going to the Phoenix Open, then the whole Southern Swing, you know, whether it's Copperhead or the Blue Monster or, you know, Arnold's Tournament at Bay Hill. But I love TPC Afterfire. I'm over it. I'll get over it. It's coming. It's gone. But the Masters to me was just, you know, at the perfect time. And then after witnessing that, I love the fact that they were coming through here about a month later. That will not be the case this year with the newly, you know, changed schedule. The PGA Championship instead will be in the month of May. And then, of course, the Open and the U.S. Open coming up to follow. But these next 4 days are truly special. To me, baseball is the one sport, like, kind of father and son more than anything else. And I'm not trying to disrespect other sports, but I think there's a father-son appeal in baseball. I kind of feel that way with golf as well. That it's just, you know, your dad's watching somewhere, and hopefully your dad's still around like I know mine is. It's just that event is so beautiful to watch, and I've been lucky enough to be on the greens at Augusta. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people ripping Augusta, the city itself and whatever, and I don't agree with that. It's not perfect, the surrounding area, but I also don't know it all that well. I know Washington Street, and I know the golf course. That's basically it. It is an interesting drive in, though. It's nasty even in some situations. But that is a cathedral. That is really a slice of heaven. And I, as much as I enjoy watching it on TV, I don't think it gives you the clear picture of what it's really like until you've been to that golf course. And I think it's so convenient for people to come out there and say, well, you go to a NASCAR event and it's so different than watching it on TV. And I agree. Or you go to a hockey game and it's so different than watching it on TV. I agree. I like watching golf on TV more than I do actually being there, as much as I love the players. I've been to Pebble Beach. I've been to some of the greatest golf courses there are, including Augusta, including Torrey Pines, including Medina, okay? TV is so wonderful for the sport of golf because it's tough to be in the gallery, especially if you're not 7 foot or 7 foot change like Artis Gilmore. And you can only really follow one group if you're in a gallery. I'm not trying to take away from anyone's experience. If you ever have an opportunity to get a badge and go, trust me, what an unbelievable experience. But I think you're better off going today during a par 3 day, or yesterday during a practice day, or maybe an opening round tomorrow. I guess what I'm getting at is a final round. I've been there for a final round. I think it was 2009 maybe when Angel Cabrera won it. And Phil and Tiger were on the second-to-last group to go out. And I went out with a good buddy of mine, Vic, who owned the Chicago Pizzas here. I just visited him out in the Dominican Republic. And he's one of those guys who doesn't sleep. I mean, we were out drinking till 2 and then some, and he had me up at 6. And we were like the first guys out there. And the second group that went off on that final Sunday was Miguel Angel Jimenez and Rocco Mediate. And we followed those guys 1 through 17. And by the time we got to the 17th fairway, that is when Tiger and Phil teed off. And I was so lucky that I got to walk the entire course outside of 18, which I eventually did later anyway, and see the hills and see how different it really is from watching it in person compared to seeing it on TV. But once Tiger and Phil got there, you talk about the size of, I mean, make sure I say it correctly here, the patrons, because it's not the gallery. It's the patrons. If you're 5 foot something like me, 5 foot nine and a half, 5 foot 10, I think I've shrunk. I really do, LeVay. I don't have much neck anymore. I think it's kind of older. People's like, 5'10"? I'm like, yeah, I used to be 5'10". I think my neck has shrunk about a half inch.
My gramps has lost about 5 inches in the span of 15 years.
It's kind of like a turtle. My neck's kind of gone turtle. I'm losing my neck. It didn't matter. Even in 2009, I was clearly 5'10 in 2009. You have no shot in that gallery when you're 10, 12, 14 deep. Excuse me, patrons. You cannot see. So I guess I know that there's jealousy and there's envy and there's so many that are like, oh, you know, I'm going. It's great to go. Don't get me wrong. But you can still have the best seat in the house by watching it on TV the next 4 days. That is how great the Masters is. Because, yeah, I know it's cool to say, hey, I'm there. And these pimento sandwiches are great. And these $4 beers are great, but you really can't see. So don't feel disappointed if you're not one of the lucky ones who gets to go. The fact that it's on TV now, unlike the way it used to be, is exactly what you need. All right, when we do return, we have got Truth Teller news and notes. We've got some interesting things we need to get into. And then, LeVay and Ballou, we're going to make our picks. We're going to do it just like we did at the Players' Championship. We're each going to pick three, and then we're going to take a guy who would be considered a long shot. So all of that's coming up right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They're hiring right now. Clay County, the CDL, a commercial driver's license, are offering up a signing bonus of $1,500. Outstanding company, very competitive pay, and perhaps even as important is outstanding benefits for you and your family. So take advantage of that. Apply today. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. That's Advanced Disposal. All right, we got lots to do, including Ballou and LeVay. We're getting ready to make our Masters picks, but we have this for you first. Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. Only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do, and it's all they pay attention to. You. Okay? If you're unfortunately in a situation where a good friend or a family member was severely hurt, could have possibly even been fatal, and it happened out on the road because of a truck, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, something along those lines. Everything that you're dealing with right now, the family is dealing with right now, you need to know the name TruckCrashLaw.com. Okay? Based in Jacksonville, they're the only operation here statewide, the firm where this is their expertise if someone has been injured in a situation like this. Hopefully you never have to call. But if it does happen, I want you to know truckcrashlaw.com. All right, we got a lot to do. A lot of stories today, news and notes. A couple of baseball nuggets for you. Break up the Tampa Bay Rays. Are you kidding me? They are 10-3. They go into Chicago and just pound the White Sox. Fam with a couple of home runs, getting great starting pitching, and their bullpen has been flawless. Glasnow today, 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, struck out 11. and only threw 85 pitches. How do you strike out 11 and throw 85 pitches? That happened today. This great young team. You know, Austin Meadows was part of that trade that sent Chris Archer over to Pittsburgh. And he believes that he's going to be able to play in this league. He's only 23 years of age. He's off to a torrid start. Had another big day today. I think he had three hits in the victory this afternoon, including at least two extra base hits. But they're a fun team to watch. They kind of are going against what baseball is about today. You know, that is a lot of strikeouts and a lot of home runs. They are manufacturing the ball. They're playing with a lot of young kids who are hungry. And they're actually a pretty interesting team to watch. I mean, with the NHL playoffs getting underway tonight, including the Tampa Bay Lightning, who many believe are the team to beat when it's all said and done, arguably the most exciting team in the National Hockey League, arguably the best team in the National Hockey League. They had the best overall record this year. Tampa as well in baseball, extremely exciting. No question about that. Hey, San Francisco lost again today. You know, Florida State baseball has had just an awful season. It's carried over for one of their greatest alumni. Boy, is the bottom ever fallen out for Buster Posey. And I understand it's early. It's only April, 10th? But Buster Posey was such a consistent baseball player. He has really turned into Punch and Judy. I mean, a year ago, in 400 at-bats, he had five home runs and 41 RBIs. This year, he's, again, hitting in the four-hole. He's the cleanup hitter. He's played 10 games. He has 37 at-bats. He's got no home runs, and he's got no RBIs. And you can blame it any way you want. You can say they're not putting guys on base, they're not scoring runs. But that's not technically the case. It's also the responsibility of your number four hitter to bring in runs and drive in runs. And what a just an awful, and I don't want to say that the career is over for Buster Posey. I mean, he just turned 32 a week ago. You would think he'd be heading into really the prime of his career over the next four, five, six seasons. But just a terrible way of it in the last year and a year and 10 games for Buster Posey. The guy's turned into a seeing eye single hitter. Dwayne Haskins will not be a part. One other note, as I mentioned, Chris Archer, did you see the video of the pine tar that was on the bottom of his uniform right above the belt? Starting a couple of spots today, and I have a feeling he's going to have to answer to that. I don't know where I saw it. I did so this morning. I'm sure some of the listeners were aware of this as well. But Chris Archer, who was involved in that, you know, the melee the other day with Yasiel Puig and the big battle that happened between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, they still photos of him. You can clearly see the pine tar, you know, right around the above the belt area and where his hand kept going there. And, you know, people will begin to scream about this and yell. Honestly, I love it. I love it. I've always loved the competitive edge. And cheating in sports to me is acceptable until you're caught. I have no problem with doctoring a baseball. I have no problem at all with taking a file or Vaseline or pine tar or tobacco juice or scuffing a sunflower seed. Whatever it does or whatever you can do to give yourself an edge in baseball, I think it's part of the game. People have cheated in baseball forever. And we become so sensitive now. Oh, they're stealing signs. The dugout is stealing signs. They're moving the electronic media from center field or from behind home plate because it's sending off signals to the home team that it's either a curveball or a fastball. I love this. cheating within the game of baseball and getting through the unwritten rules, to me, is fine. And frankly, I don't have a problem with it in sports. Okay? If you're Marty McSorley and you're going to get called because your stick has too much of a curvature in the National Hockey League, and you're taking a flame to that and you're bending it just a little bit more to give you that extra edge, I'm fine. You get caught, you got to pay the price. You're going to fill up the bottom of your bat with super balls or whatever it is to give you a little extra pop by juicing your bat. I don't have a problem with it, as long as you're willing to accept the penalty that goes along with it. Always have really liked this. And, you know, one thing to be Joe Negro and have an Emery board out there with you. But it's another thing to put just a little splash of pine tar on your shirt and go to it. Get a little extra grip on that baseball or make it do a little something more. Jump off your fingers. Just happen to be a fan. Anyway, Dwayne Haskins will not be at the NFL draft a week from tomorrow night, 2 weeks from tomorrow night. There's more and more talk that he's really free-falling. He could end up being behind Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, and Dan Jones now when this is all said and done. Can you imagine if it really ends up being Dwayne Haskins, the fourth quarterback selected in this year's draft? Find that interesting. ESPN announced with the schedules coming out yesterday as far as the preseason, they still do not know, or at least they will not announce, who their Monday Night Football commentator team is. And we know that Joe Tessitore is there, at least we believe he's there. And Booger McFarland is apparently going to leave the Boogermobile and move up to the booth, but we don't know anything about that. ESPN reportedly has a huge offer on the table for Peyton Manning. I think there's also a feeling that they could end up being just a two-man booth with Booger and with Tessitore. So we'll end up seeing, but that came in a little bit earlier today. Finally, ASJ, Austin Seferian, Jake, and Simon, the New England Patriots. How you feel about that? I remember when Julius Thomas kind of quit on the Jags and went to Miami, I thought that Julius Thomas was going to put up some great numbers. He did not. Austin Seferian Jenkins did virtually nothing here, and he was really my guy a season ago. I thought he was going to lead the team in receptions. He was injured. But now he gets this new opportunity. Is this guy going to be another reclamation project? Because that's what he'll end up being if he posts numbers there. After the way he's gone from a couple of different teams, now what? Jets, Bucks, Jags, injured. That'll be the story. Signed for a league minimum today. Or do you believe that he's just cooked? That he'll show up in Foxborough? He got a $50,000 bonus. That's it. And he'll get injured again, and his days are behind him. You know, I said a little bit earlier, I flipped on the TV radio station on channel 630 on DirecTV to listen to try to get some Red Sox input and a little bit of Bruins input as they're getting ready for their first game of the National Hockey League playoffs, which for them will be tomorrow night against Toronto in a two of the original six grudge match. But I couldn't believe listening to the Boston media come out and talk about how TJ Yeldon was visiting the Patriots and how all of the members of the media there were hoping that they were going to sign Yeldon because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And obviously that's what the Patriots have done over the years. That has been their bread and butter. But they started to get into a conversation about this. And you know, obviously they're uninformed because it's not like they really follow the Jaguars there. But they start coming out saying that Yeldon is a better back than Fournette. And I'm just sitting there laughing, listening to these guys. First off, they called him Larry Fournette. That's how much respect they gave him. Larry Fournette. And then they said that they thought Yeldon was a better football player. So again, we blame the national media for not knowing the Jaguars. I think you can go to other cities and certainly point out that the local media doesn't know the Jaguars. All right, there you go. News and notes, truth teller style, brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm right here in the state of Florida where if a family member or a friend has been injured by a tractor, trailer, truck, RV, a bus, anything along those lines, make sure you contact them if there was a serious injury, even if it was fatal. I know it's awful, but they're there for you. And again, their website is truckcrashlaw.com. Based right here in Jacksonville, they're the only law firm that does this right here in the state of Florida. Jags also signed Cody Brown today from the AAF, 6'2", 207, a DB out of Arkansas State. He played for the Salt Lake Stallions. So that did a little bit earlier today. Lightning up 3-1, second period over Columbus. The Winnipeg Jets, the affiliate of the Jacksonville Icemen, are underway against St. Louis. No score there. Penguins, Islanders on the island tonight. New York up 2-1 over Pittsburgh, despite Kessel with a playoff goal. And late night tonight, the Sharks will host the Golden Knights, and the Stars will visit the Nashville Predators. That's Phil Kessel, who's got, I think, the worst NHL body in the history of the game. I mean, he looks like a chain-smoking weekend golfer. And how you can keep a body like that with the physical endurance and conditioning that goes into playing hockey is honestly one of the greatest shocks in the last 12, 13, 14 years in the NHL. How do you keep a body? It's one thing to be, you know, Pablo Sandoval as a baseball player. How do you do this as a hockey player? Phil Kessel's been able to do that. He's lit the lamp early tonight for Pittsburgh. They've played one, though. The Islanders up 2-1 after 20 minutes of hockey. So we know half the league makes it. Five games tonight, three more tomorrow night. The NHL playoffs begin their two-month jaunt for Lord's Stanley Cup. All right. On the other side, it's what you've been waiting for. Matt LaVey, Rick Ballew. We make our Masters picks next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's wrap it up tonight before we get to Denny and James, the Sports Den. Beginning at 9 o'clock, right here on 92.5 FM, as well as on the AM dial. That's 1010XL. Ballew and LaVey, we each got three picks. And as well, we'll take kind of a flyer, a long shot, if you will. We, I think when we did it at the players, did we pick the same guy or did we?
Oh, we didn't have that issue at all. We both picked different people.
I have a feeling today, though, we're kind of thinking, I don't know. I'm inside your head right now. I know where you're going with these picks. I wonder if we should do the process of elimination. I think that's probably better.
Might be. I mean, we can go with that if you want.
All right. Who's older, you or I?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Have to roll with you on that one.
All right. Right. Therefore, I'm going to give you the pick then, LaVey. You go first. I think it's about the young. It's about our youth of America. All right. We have faith in you young folks for us down the road. So we want you to do the right thing. So let's make three picks and let's go by the process of elimination. Who are you going with first?
Well, Rick, it's too hard to pass up on this guy, just the way he's been playing this whole entire year. I'm going with Rory McIlroy as my top pick. We kind of mentioned it earlier, Rick, too. He's finished top 10 of five straight Masters tournaments. He's played in seven total tournaments this year and finished top 10 at each. So I'm dubbing this the year of Rory, Rick.
You know what? It's hard to go against you. There's no doubt. And he has been absolutely spectacular. I had a feeling that would be the number one pick. I'm also going to take the very obvious selection, and that's a guy who is really become the modern-day Lee Trevino. He seems to finish in the top 10 every year. He has a couple of second-place finishes, including in 2015 and 2017. I am going to go with Justin Rose as my number one pick.
Lock it down, Rick.
All right, number two.
Yeah, for me, number two, I'm going with Dustin Johnson. Five top 10 finishes this year. It includes a top five finish right here at TPC Sawgrass, too, just a few weeks ago. He's always a guy that's going to be a threat, and I think this could finally be the year that he gets it done, Rick, and gets that green jacket.
Very, 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 very interesting. All right. My second overall pick. Boy. You know, I want to go there, but just listening to Brando Chambly last night. And by the way, if you didn't listen to Brando Chambly last night, you probably missed out. I'm sure it was part of the retaped broadcast that I got very, very late night on the Golf Channel. I really want to pick Brooks Koepka here, but they're just destroying him over his weight loss for ESPN, the magazine, the body issue. And he's lost a lot of touch, and you can't lose touch on this golf course. This is not at Augusta where you're going to win by just bombing it and then being able to make some putts. It's all about your approach. It's all about greens and regulation. So I know I just gave him a rousing endorsement, but I'm actually going to leave him alone. I'm going to go back to the Spaniard, who melted down here on Sunday at the Players. I think John Rahm has got a real good chance to win this year's Masters. So with my second pick, I will take the 25-year-old John Rahm. Number three, which way are you going, LeVay?
Yeah, Rick, with my third pick, I'm going with Jason Day. He's got four top 10 finishes this year. He's been playing consistent throughout the season, so I expect him to kind of carry that momentum into Augusta.
Jason Day is in. Very good pick. Tell you what I'm going to do. I've kind of called him out this week as the most overrated player on the planet. Showed a lot of guts last year by shooting a 67 on Sunday. He lost by one stroke to Patrick Reed. He is the best player, arguably, to never have won a major, even though he's won here at the Players. He also won earlier this year at the Phoenix Open. He has five career victories on the PGA Tour, and he'll be 31 later this year. Yeah, that sounds like an overrated golfer to me. But I think he has a chance to piece together four really good rounds. Give me Ricky Fowler to win it this year at Augusta. So LeVay is going Rory McIlroy. He's going Dustin Johnson. He's going Jason Day. Three former number one ranked golfers in the world. I'm going Justin Rose, John Rahm, and Ricky Fowler. All right, long shot here. Let's go deep into the list as we look at tee times and guys that are down the list a little bit. LeVay, who you going with?
Yeah, Rick, my sleeper for the Masters, I'm going with Kevin Kisner. He did win the Dell Match Play earlier this year, and he's had three top 25 finishes this year, excuse me. So, I kind of expect Kev to play well this weekend.
All right, Kevin Kisner, kid out of Georgia, to win it. I like that. It's a long shot, obviously, so we don't need to give it a tremendous amount of attention. You know, I'm going to go with, believe it or not, I'm going to go with a guy now who went from being disliked because of his waggles to now becoming a little bit of a sensation in the world of, is it GIFs or GIFs?
That would be GIF.
Because I've heard GIFs as well.
Those are imposters, right?
I mean, that's a younger generation question. That's why I referred to you. I'm going with Kevin Na, who now makes his run for the ball about a foot and a half to 2 feet away until it goes into the cup. And that's really becoming a huge viral sensation in the world of electronic media and or social media. So give me Kevin Na. All right, picks are in. LeVay likes Rory McIlroy. He likes Dustin Johnson. He likes Jason Day. His long shot out of Georgia, going with Kevin Kisner. Ballou is taking Justin Rose, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, and Kevin Na is my long shot. Very interesting. Neither of us picked Patrick Reed after winning a year ago. Neither of us picked Brooks Koepka, who's won three majors but lost all that weight. None of us picked Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, who have seven green jackets between them.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, he is here. Denny Thompson, it is time for the Sports Den. What's going on?
I have that same shirt.
Bet it looks better on you.
I don't know if it'll
fit. Betting is illegal here at Bushwood.
It won't fit me right now, so got to drop that
10 pounds. You know what's great about this shirt is that it was either last summer or two. Every summer I go down south, my old college roommate, get up with him, play a couple of rounds, and usually the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, and then keep going out of the Keys. It's like a weekly deal for me. Last year he walks up and hands me this shirt. I'm like, man, or 2 years. I'm like, that's really nice, yeah. And I found out later it was actually a used shirt.
Oh, wow.
That he gave me.
Okay. Well, it's just broken in.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, I mean, he's an old roommate. I guess it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, typically at this age, you give someone a shirt, it's a brand new shirt.
Yeah, that's
Bushwood
true.
Country Club. Because, you know, when I attended bar, this was long before satellites and all that stuff, where you had those crazy old school huge satellites. But every night at the bar, you know, when sports was over, whatever, 1:32, I keep the bar open late, I would replay Caddyshack.
Of course.
I bet I ran it 1,000 times in my life.
Of course. It's so a we gave great me a shirt. Movie for drunk
people. It really is. It's one of the greatest movies of all time. To me, it's my all-time favorite comedy.
It's up there.
Nodges out Animal House for me.
It's up there for me. I don't know. I've never really done like a top five. I go by if something's on TV, can I watch it no matter how many times it's been on?
See, I do lists for everything.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I like to read lists, but I'm not really a list guy. But
including best talk show host here on 1010 XL, and you're on that list.
Oh, I'm glad. Like 8, 9, 10.
You're high on that list.
I appreciate that. Did you see the video of Phil Mickelson taking his practice swings?
With $100 bills falling?
Yeah, how great is that?
That's Phil.
Because you know that's not staged.
Nope.
Like it's just, there's probably 7 more of them tucked up underneath there.
I am really a golf geek this week. I live on the Golf Channel, and I listened to Phil's entire press conference yesterday. They asked him about the Jake Owen story. You know what he said? 100% true.
Yeah, that was an awesome story.
He goes, that story is 100% true. He goes, there's no reason for me to even say anything more. Everything you heard was true.
He told it like it is. Fred Couples make a run again. His annual
Thursday. He's on the top of the leaderboard.
Halfway Friday.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Best swing in golf still, probably.
Why not? He knows the course. You know, that's one thing I always respected about Tiger, even in his heyday. He befriended Freddie. He befriended Jose Maria Olazabal.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that had success there, knew the nuances of the golf courses, the nooks and crannies. People have commented about Tiger in so many different ways over the years. He was smart enough at that point in his life to go to those type of veterans to learn about Augusta.
Yeah. Followed Nicholas everywhere he went on the course. Yeah. I didn't hear Tommy Fleetwood at all in y'all's prediction.
No. I think LeVay felt like he was burnt by Fleetwood.
Yeah, I did roll with him at the Players, but not this time around.
Scorned, huh?
Yeah.
Scorned. Yeah. No, you got a favorite? I'll be dialed in.
You guys going to do it tonight? Yeah. Or?
Nah, not really. I mean, I love the Masters. James doesn't care anything about it unless Tiger's in it, but I'll watch every minute that I can. Uh-huh. I absolutely love it. I don't like to go.
Yeah.
I've been several times. I hate going. You've been, right?
Yes. I actually was commenting on that not too long ago that it's great to go and say you went, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'd go again.
Yeah.
But watching it on TV.
It's completely different.
It's like, better.
It's off University Boulevard, essentially.
Yes.
It looks like it's tucked away in this like quiet haven in some beautiful part of Georgia. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's
but,
not.
I mean, those grounds are sacred. But
it is amazing. And hilly? Golly.
It's just, I mean, you can only follow a couple of golfers.
Yep.
It's you not don't like, know what else is going on.
Yep.
People and they don't have it set up with these tents and all these TVs like you have here at the Players, where you can go to the Players' Championship, get in a tent, drink your cocktails, and I know that for so many people it's just a party. They don't really know what's going on. But for those who are huge golf fans, You can be in that atmosphere and also still follow it on TV.
Yeah.
Tough to do that at Augusta.
It is, and I can only get shushed so many times before I just start to lose my crap. I will give you my long shot, Zach Johnson.
Zach Johnson has he's had success at that golf course.
A ton of success. It's the only thing he shows up for anymore. Yeah. But I don't know what his odds are. I heard you talking with the Philly guy yesterday.
Yeah.
But I like if I may try to throw some down on that.
You know, he's a heck of a nice guy. I talked to him for about 5 minutes this year on the Jaguars sideline.
Oh, really?
He was here for a Jags game.
Yeah, didn't he hit the golf shot? Like, he did the whole...
He may have.
Yeah, I remember that.
But he was just a... You know, he was asking me questions about the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And just like a real down-to-earth, really good dude.
Yeah.
A guy that if you want it, certainly likable guy. All right, coming up right now, Denny Thompson and James Coleman right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That'll do it for us. Hey, tomorrow night's going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. No doubt about it. Playoff hockey, night two. And round one of the Masters. It will absolutely be a blast. Thank you to Greg Huntington for joining us in studio. Again, they're hiring right now at Advanced Disposal, a $1,500 signing bonus. You need a residential commercial driver's license for Clay County. A $1,500 signing bonus. Apply online. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. For producer Matt LaVey, I am Rick Ballew. We'll be back tomorrow night. All of the post-round one coverage and analysis, plus my opinion, that'll be tomorrow night with Rick Ballew from 7 to 9.